Hi, Julio. Well, thanks for
Hi.
taking my call and getting involved in all this.
Oh yeah, not a problem.
I sure appreciate it. First I want to say I'm on a recorded phone line, and I also want to say that I was requested by Mr. Portunato's attorney to give him a copy of the audio interview that I did with Josh, and as a journalist and as I am allowed to do, I declined to do that.
Okay.
That's and nor will I be providing it with yours. I would like to say though that I'm going to be working with an attorney in Connecticut that is working on getting the money for another contractor that feels that Neltz owes him a significant amount of money. I think it's on the over $50,000, and
Oh.
I would like to provide these conversations to him in hopes that we can take this just as far as it'll go. So,
Yeah,
or.
definitely. Doesn't shock me that he owes people money. Yeah,
Yeah.
he definitely owes me some money.
Well, tell me, let's talk about when you started working for him, what you did, and maybe why he owes you money.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I was when I first started there, I was just a street sweeper. I started off as the only street sweeper for him for a little bit. Yeah, he we used to work hell, wow, on a nightly basis, I would say, because my shift would start at 7:30.
And just
But
let me break in to ask when was that? Do you remember about when that was you started with him?
yes, we're what, 2023 now. So I want to say it was like 2022, 21, yeah,
2020.
2021. I started back, I want to say, in like around June of 2021.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact date, but it was
Sure.
definitely June
Sure. And
2021.
when you say you were a street sweeper operator, were you actually a parking lot sweeper operator? Is that what you did, is go out and operate a parking lot sweeper machine?
Yes, I did, but that was temporary because we only had the street sweepers for a few months. Because unfortunately, the first street sweeper that I drove there, I was even shocked that it was running because of the condition that it was in. I was shocked that it was even. I know for a fact it wasn't street safe. I know that for a fact. There was always coolant leaking into the engine block. And he wanted us to drive it like that. The headlights, you could barely see anything on the road. Everything was like a tinge of yellow, and you could barely see anything. And we were driving long distances all night for that.
Wow.
It was very dangerous, and so your eyes are strained. And after anywhere between a minimum of, and I'm when I say minimum, I literally mean a minimum of 10 hours of driving.
Wow.
And yeah, minimum of 10 hours,
Would you
because we would have to
stay in
go through.
Connecticut? Would that all be in
Yeah,
Connecticut?
it was in, we would start in North Franklin. That's where the shop was, or still is, in North Franklin. And mind you, I was salary when I started. That was what I was told. I was salary, not hourly. And my shift started at 7:30, but he wanted me there at 7 o'clock to start prepping everything. But and I asked him, okay, so when I punch in for 7 o'clock, do I start getting paid at 7? He said, no, you start getting paid at 7:30. So I said, so you get an extra half hour of work out of me every single day of the shift, and that's absolutely for free. And he said, yes, and that's what you said, you take it or leave it.
Sure.
So he was paying decent money back then. So I said, you know what? It is what it is. No problem. So I would do that, come in, prep everything. And again, it was, I want to say it was like a Chevy diesel pickup with a sweeper on the back of it. And the thing had no power. It was garbage. It was driving garbage. You know, you had no interior lights. There was no nothing in. You didn't even see the your speedometer or anything because the lights were off. You would have to use your cell phone flashlight to look at how fast you were going. Yeah, the seatbelt didn't work in it.
Wow.
The seatbelt didn't work. If you try to buckle yourself up, there was a very good chance that you were stuck there where you were.
Yeah,
it didn't work. And you're driving long distances. We would start at North Franklin. My first stop of the night was from North Franklin, Connecticut, all right, where the shop was. And my first stop, I'd have to drive all the way down to Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah, so that's about how many miles did you say? And if you're driving a 10-hour shift, well, that didn't really matter when you punched in or out either, did it? If you're salaried, how would that matter?
Is it because what happened was this was the minimum amount of hours. We would work more than 10 hours on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was about 12 hours minimum, you know, for the most part, because we would go all over the place, and then he would overwork us because then he would make us stay there and do other stuff that had nothing to do with street sweeping.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you tell him after 14 hours, you tell him, hey, I'm tired, I want to go home, he get mad at you, start yelling at you, calling you names, and, you know, then he'll after that, he might feel bad about it and then send you home for the day, for you to come back at 7 o'clock. So he was burning us out.
Would he pay you for those 12 hours or those 14 hours of work?
No, he was not paying us those hours. He would only pay up to 10.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so, and there was even a stint for a while during the fall hours where we would go over, and at that point, because like I said, we only had the street sweepers for a few months. After about a month of me working there, he hired someone else to work with me to help me out, because I guess we had multiple routes at the beginning. I had no clue about it. All I knew was one route. Then we had three routes total. They were color indicated on a route sheet that we had. When he decided that, you know, he wanted to hire more people, he was overworking us to the point where it was so dangerous. Some of the guys started falling asleep behind the wheel.
Sure.
And crashed the old one. And, you know, we ended up getting a new one. And it got wrecked not soon after that, because, you know, there was times where we were working 15, 16 hours. You know, so we were so tired that, you know, they were crashing them. And thank God, you know, the guys were okay. But after that, we had no street sweepers. We literally had to go over and grab a picker, a bucket, and some bags and walk the parking lot.
Were any of those lots a Home Depot lot?
All of them were.
So this is a whole route of Home Depots you're talking about?
Yep, a whole route. Every single stop we had was a Home Depot, and there were three routes of Home Depots.
Okay.
Yeah, the one route that was color indicated orange was the main one that I had. You had a minimum of, I want to say, 8 to 9 Home Depots.
Per route.
But that was the orange route. That was the heaviest route. Then you had the blue route, which you drove an even longer distance. That was about a good 6, maybe 7 Home Depots.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had another green one that was about another 7 or 8 Home Depots.
Well,
and all three were hand-picked by hand.
And then what did you drive to do that? Your personal car? Did he provide a pickup truck? Or?
He provided a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing about that was, you know, at first they were like really not so reliable pickup trucks. Until like a couple months later when he started buying new pickup trucks, which was fine. But when we asked them about when we were getting street sweepers, because we had to it was to the point, it was so stressful because we had to get them done within a certain amount of time, because the way he put it was, we would have to go over, handpick everything, and be out of the last Home Depot by 7 o'clock.
In the morning.
So you were literally rushing to get all this stuff done, and honestly, you can't do a good job, you know, and then he wants us to use backpack blowers to blow some of the stuff into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were, you know, I would just, if I even thought about questioning, because I questioned him one time, and he just yelled at me and told me, just do what you're told. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the rest.
Did you ever see any managers for Home Depot or any employees or anything come out and say, what are you doing?
I've seen some of them, because by the time we got in, because the Home Depots would start closing down around 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We were not allowed to start picking any garbage up until 10 p.m. So if you were there at your first stop before 10 p.m., you were told to wait in the parking lot till 10 p.m., then you could start.
And is that so the employees wouldn't see that you're not using a sweeper truck, or for some reason?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And then I got questioned a couple times from the store managers. I got questioned from the one that's in Stamford, and then I got questioned from one of the other ones that was... It wasn't the best area. I forgot which one it was, but it'll come back to me. But I got questioned by two of them that I clearly remember, because one of them, I felt like I was, you know, I was getting yelled at because I didn't have a street sweeper. And she told me, yo, you need to have a street sweeper. That's what the contract says. I'm like, hey, I'm just doing what I'm told. I was told to come here, pick things up by hand. I'm just the employee. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so I get it. You know, that's what the contract calls for. That's what you're supposed to do. But we didn't have street sweepers there for, I want to say, because I was there almost a year. I was there about like 10 months, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And the last like 6-7 months, we didn't have no street sweepers. He kept telling us, "Oh, I'm gonna get it for you guys." You know, I bought them. They're being built. But that's all I heard for like the last 6-7 months.
Hmm.
Yeah, and we never got anything. You know what I mean? And then he had me go over illegally, mind you, because I knew it was illegal, and I questioned him about that one as well, and I got yelled at again. There was a big old street sweeper that he had that required a CDL to drive, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big one. It was a big one.
You don't remember what it was, what model it was or anything, do you?
No, it was definitely bigger than, it was, honestly, it looked like it was the size of a Mack truck.
Mm-hmm.
It was that big. I don't remember the model of it. It was so old and beat up. Honestly, I didn't think it belonged on the road. Because as soon as you turned it on, it was just throwing out black smoke. We were handpicking everything. And then it got to the point where every once in a while he would yell at us at a meeting, because he didn't think that it was good enough for him. And, you know, I would tell him, hey, listen, because bigger than a cigarette box, he would take it as, out of scope, as an out of scope thing. So we would have to take these pictures of things that, you know, whatever the contract was, I don't know what that was, but we would have to take pictures and stuff. So if there was like a garbage bag on the ground, we'd have to take a picture of that, because it was anything that was bigger than a cigarette box, it was considered out of scope.
And so that he could get extra money for cleaning it up?
Yeah. Yes, that was for extra money, because he would yell at us if there was nothing there out of scope. He would put it as if it was our fault that there was nothing there that was out of scope. And he would say, I'm not making any money on this stuff, and I'm going to catch you guys, because we're not making any money. We need to make some stuff out of scope. And then after the meeting, he would tell me, hey, listen, if you got a garbage bag in the back of the truck, throw it in the ground, take a picture of it, put it out of scope and all that stuff, call it in, and then throw it back in the bed of the truck. And, you know, I was reluctant at first to do it, but then he told me, no, you have to do it.
Did he ever encourage you to find anything else, any kind of other material, and throw it on the ground?
There was a few things. There was a couple of times there were some tires in the back of the truck, and he told me to throw them in the ground. You know, pick a spot, you know, wherever it's at in the parking lot, and throw it down over there, and then take pictures of it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it would be at random. He would throw stuff in the back of the bed, and he said if it's there, throw it down and take a picture.
And would you take a picture at different lots, or just one that night, or?
It was at different lots. We wouldn't throw the way he wanted it. He didn't want it to be too obvious. He didn't want the same picture of the same object in different parking lots. So it was that object in whatever parking lot it was in, and you take a picture of it. That would be it for that object for the night.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah, because he didn't want that same object in the pictures, in multiple pictures.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then one time when I guess, you know, I had no clue, you know, or none of the other guys would know, because he never defined what parameters we would have to pick up to, you know what I mean? So if there was like a Walmart next door, we wouldn't know where the Walmart ended and the Home Depot started, kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, there would be stuff there, and it was like, if we didn't pick it up because we had no clue, hey, listen, this is where Walmart's line starts or something like that, and there was, like, objects there, you know, whatever it was, he would yell at us, and then I clearly remember him, the first time I heard him say this, which blew my mind, that he actually started, this is where I started having the clue that it was him doing stuff like this on purpose, when he went over and he yelled at me at a meeting and told me that, oh, I purposely throw down some of this garbage to see if you guys are picking it up. And I'm like, wait a minute. And that's when I questioned him at the meeting in front of a couple of the other guys. And I said, so if you're throwing this stuff down, why are you making us take out-of-school pictures for this? He goes, we need the money.
Yeah.
So I looked at him and said, well, you know, that's not cool. That's not right. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to go over here, let's do a legit job. Don't throw stuff there. Make us work that much harder. You know, you're paying us to do it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's the deal? He goes, oh, no, we get a lot of money for that stuff.
Gotcha.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, sometimes I'll go over and I'll throw a toilet down or something like that. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I legitimately got mad at him, because I remember when he said that, a week or so prior to that, I literally had to pick up a whole bathroom from the Stanford parking lot at Home Depot on a rainy day. It was torrential downpours, and it was like 60 mile an hour winds.
Whoa.
And I was out there, drenched down to my socks, picking up an entire bathroom. It was a toilet, the bathroom sink, the cabinet that went to it, tiles, all that stuff, all in one spot. And I'm like, wait, was that you? He goes, well, you know, if nobody knows anything, as long as you took the pictures and you did everything, don't worry about it.
So you believe it was him putting it down there?
At that particular time, that's when I started believing that was him throwing random debris like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would go over and, like, take a picture. One of the worst ones that we had was the Bridgeport one, that, you know, there would be, like, random garbage, and I was, the next day, who would ask me, oh, did you find this or did you find that? I'm like, well, how did you know that was there if you never even spoke to me that whole night?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was like, you know, like, this guy's really doing this stuff for no reason. He's doing it for extra money. He's throwing this stuff down that he finds at different job sites or wherever he finds them, and he's throwing them down.
Yeah.
And he's making us pick it up and find it, like, if it was out of scope, so that way we have no clue if we get questioned.
Right. And all this time you're doing it with pickup trucks. And
pickup trucks. We would have to pick up all this stuff and throw it in the back of a pickup truck. And in the winter, it was even worse, because we would have sanders on the back of the pickup truck, and we would still have to go over, remove the grate that's on the top of the sander, and throw the stuff in the sander.
My goodness.
Yeah, and I would have to climb the back of a pickup truck, mind you, where it was unsafe, and everything was wet, slippery, and we would have to throw it in the back of a pickup. Inside the sander, if we had sanders on.
And there were, at this point, would you say there are three or four other people doing the same thing? Three routes?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are those people...
And unfortunately, I had to train a few people that way. And some of this stuff, it would be a two-man job trying to lift just some of these things, you know? And it was heavy. And I'm a pretty decent-sized guy. And even some of that stuff was ridiculously heavy for me. There was times where I would have to go over, take the pictures, leave the stuff there so he can have multiple people in the morning come over and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me, as long as you took the pictures, you reported it and all that, it was fine.
Gotcha. Well, how did you end up not working for him? What happened on the other side of that?
Oh, that. So what happened was there was a stint there from November all the way. It happened twice to me. From where I started, it was from November till January. I worked every single day with no days off at a minimum of 12 hours per day. And he told me that he was only going to pay me for the 10, but as long as I punched in on whatever app it was that he was using at the time for us to be clocked in, he told me that he would go over on the back end, that he would end up giving me a bonus for that stuff because he quote unquote recognizes when employees work hard for him, and that he would take care of us on the back end. So I told him, okay, no problem, if that's what you're trying to do, I understand and I'm willing to do it. So I said, all right, no problem. As long as you promise you're going to help me out, take care of me, give me a bonus or whatnot, fine. I'll take care of it for you. I have no quarrels with that.
Sure.
And then I did that for you know, about 3 months. I got nothing at the end of it. Then again, when it came to from mid-January to March, almost to the time that I left, again, no days off, working seven, and again, another minimum 12 hours a day, I was working, and it got to the point where one day he finally told me, okay, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a day off, you take it, don't worry about it, and since I was always working at night, I took the day as, okay, you know, I'm going to go spend the day with my kids, so I didn't sleep all day, spend the day with my kids. We literally... later on that night, had a very light dusting. It wasn't even sticking on the ground. It was a light dusting of snow. And I had my phone off. I had no clue he was trying to call me in to go salt stuff that wasn't even sticking on the ground. Uh-huh. And I guess he was just trying to get a quick payday. And I didn't answer my phone, so the next day he yelled at me. And I told him, hey, listen, I'm not coming in on my day off. You're expecting me to come in on the one day that I have off in months. He goes, well, I'm the owner. I don't get any days off. I said, you're not even here. You don't even do anything when you are here. And he got mad at me. And then, you know, when I told him that, you know, he just sent us home for the night. And then when he told me, I'm expecting you to come back tonight, and not at 7:30, not at 7 o'clock, you are to be here at 6:30 or you're fired. So I didn't show up at 6:30 tonight, and I texted the manager telling him, hey, listen, I'm not coming in tonight. It's supposed to be my day off. I'm not coming in. So then he said, all right, no problem. And then next thing I know, Tony texts me and tells me, turn in your uniforms tomorrow.
And was Josh your manager?
Josh was my manager. he was the operations manager. And before that, it was, before Josh came over, it was Kyle.
Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I haven't heard about Kyle yet. Maybe we can talk to him, too. So I have a little bit of confusion. You're salaried, but you're working 10-hour days, 7 days a week. So your pay, if you're salaried, would be exactly the same every week or every month, wouldn't it?
It would be, but it wasn't. It would fluctuate.
So you, and was it based on your hours that you worked?
Yeah. No, it was not.
So how did he figure how much to pay you?
Huh?
How would he figure how much to pay you then?
Yeah, he would go over based on the hours. He said the only way we were getting paid was for the 10 hours. You were getting paid salary for the 10 hours. Anything after that, we were supposed to be getting extra. That's what he had told us. But we never got anything past the 10 hours, ever.
Uh-huh.
And again, then he would say, you know, I would give you bonuses of, you know, whatever amount he said he was going to give us, which I clearly remember one time he told me during that, you know, when springtime hit and all his contracts paid, that he would give me like a $5,000 bonus. And for helping him out with doing parking lot cleanups, blowing leaves and stuff like that for 14 hours a day during the whole fall season, that he was going to give me an extra $2,000. Never seen that. You know, it got to the point where I had to argue with him one time and told him, hey, listen, you know, you have me working all these hours. I'm burning myself up. I almost got into an accident a couple of times. I'm falling asleep behind the wheel. At least make it worth my while. You know, give me a little bit of an incentive. Give me a raise or something like that. So he gave me just a small bump in my pay. But he yelled at me about it, called me names, told me I pay you enough. And I told him, not for the hours that I work. I'm like, salary is for a certain amount of hours, and I'm working more than that. You told me this, and I'm going by what you told me. And he goes, well, if you don't like it, you can leave and go somewhere else. They're not going to pay you as good as I can.
Gotcha. Do you remember about how much you were getting paid per hour?
Well, if you want to add it up to per hour, it was probably about like, I want to say close to the $19, $20 range.
Okay.
Per hour.
Of the hours you actually worked.
What was that?
Of the hours that you actually worked. So you got paid more than that, but you had to work more than 10 hours.
Well, he never paid me anything over the 10 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I was just getting. So if it was more than that, I would have been getting paid more. But what he would do is he would go over and actually I would ask him, my paycheck was short. Why are you cutting it short? He goes, well, we got to cut some corners here and there sometimes. I'll give it back to you on the back end.
And do you have any pay stubs that would show whether he paid into unemployment compensation or not?
I don't currently have any pay stubs because it was always he would just give us like a check with no stub on it.
Uh huh.
I don't currently have any of those right now. The last thing I remember was that I got from him was a W-2, but again, I never even received the first W from this year when I worked the last few months or whatnot at Nels. I never even got the first W-2.
You didn't get a W-2 for 2022?
For 2022 I did, but for 2021 I didn't.
Okay.
He told me that he mailed it out. I kept asking him. It'll be in the mail. I never got it. And he told me when I asked him, oh, you know, where's my W-2? He told me, oh, it was already sent. If you didn't get it, that's not my problem. Uh-huh. Then when I asked him to print one out for me, he flat out refused.
So you didn't get one in 20... Sorry about that. You didn't get one in 2022. You would get your W-2 for 2021. Is that the one you didn't get, or is it in...
The 2021 W-2 that I would have received coming into the year of 2022, I did not receive that.
Yeah, okay.
But for 2022 coming into 2023, I did.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. And then one of the things that Josh, I think, mentioned was that when people were fired, he made them sign something to get their last check.
Oh yeah, that thing. So again, when he would fire you, in order for you to get your last check, you would have to go to the office in Columbia, and you were made to sign a piece of paper saying that you quit, when in fact you didn't. But he would tell you if you didn't sign that paper, you weren't getting your last check.
So pretty much everybody did it, I bet.
Everybody had to do it if you want to get last check, because at that point, you know, you're kind of desperate for some money. and you're thinking that you're going to get an appointment, but you're not, because he's saying, well, I'm not going to contest it or whatnot. If you're going to go for unemployment, go for unemployment. But you couldn't go for unemployment because it says on the paper you're quitting and you're signing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I told him flat out, I said, I'm not going to sign this because you fired me. You told me, he was like, I never fired you. I said, then what does turning my uniforms mean? He goes, well, you're done. And I said, exactly what I mean. You're telling me I'm fired without telling me I'm fired.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes no sense. He goes, well, take it as it is. You want your last paycheck? You sign this paper. If not, you can go home and I'll keep the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the way he is. And then you got a little, if you even questioned him or anything like that, he would get in your face, start yelling at you. And then there was times where, you felt like you were being threatened. And, sometimes it gets to the point where you think it's going to get physical with him.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's that type of guy.
Did you know of anybody that he did get physical with?
I've heard stories that he's gotten physical with other people.
Mm-hmm.
He got in my face one or two times, but when he saw that I wasn't backing down and that I was calm, cool, and collected, and knew that I wasn't scared of him, he kind of backed off.
Yeah.
But, with people like that, I've heard plenty of stories. I've seen him get in people's faces. I heard him tell them, I'm going to kick your ass, and, threaten them that with physical harm. And I looked at him like, who does that?
Right. Of course.
And it's just like, and I told him, I was just like, it's kind of not cool. He goes, I don't care. If they don't like it, they can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how I run my shit.
Is there anything else you could think of that he did that didn't conform to standard business practices?
Oh, man. where can I start? It was so many things. Wow, I don't even know where to start. So many things that come to mind. Wow, this guy, he was always unprofessional with everyone. I tell you that. He would. There was times where you were working more than 24 hours, especially during the snowstorms. You were working more than 24 hours, and you were not allowed to go home. You were not allowed, and if you got caught sleeping, you were fired on the spot. He sent people home, and then he would make other people. And cover. He's done this to me. He fired. There was a guy named Jason that worked there for him. He went over, fired him because he was caught sleeping on the job after working probably like 18 hours straight. At that point, you're tired. You're exhausted. You want a little nap or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He fired him on the spot. Sent him home. From what I understand, from what I was told from others, when he fired him that specific night, somebody else had to come pick him up because he was not allowed to drive the company truck back to the shop. He was told to get out of the truck, leave the truck there, and find a way back to the shop to get his own vehicle to then go home.
Wow.
And then after that, he would go over, and then he called me up telling me that I had to go cover his route along with mine. So then your my shift originally went from being 16, 17 hours to well over the 24-hour mark.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then at that point, when I told him I was tired, he was like, well, if you're tired, you're going to be a crybaby, and started insulting me, calling me names. He was like, then you can go home too. I don't need you. And I told him, listen, I've been working for over 24 hours, and then you're expecting me to come back, which I couldn't remember that day. He told me, because it was about 3:30 in the afternoon, all right, and we finished cleanup and everything, and then he told me, after he insulted me and everything, I said, but listen, you're expecting me to come back later on. It's 3:30. You're expecting me to come back for my normal shift for quote-unquote street sweeping at 7:30. He goes, well, I'm expecting you to work all the way through, and then you're going to work through your shift on top of that. I said, so you're expecting me to work 48 hours or more? He goes, you got to do what you got to do, and if not, you can go home. He goes, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
And I had to work it because at that point, I have kids. I got to provide. You know, and he provided no. I mean, it's not up to them to provide, you know, the health benefits and nothing like that. But I told him, you know, I don't get paid enough for this stuff. You don't even provide me with health benefits and anything like that, which I understand. You know, it is what it is. And you know, he just yelled at me about that and told me that, you know, well, you're going to need health benefits after I'm done with you. And I said, what's that supposed to mean? And he just told me it is what it is. And then he would just, if he didn't like the conversation the way it was going, 99% of the time he'll just hang up on you after he gives you a piece of his mind.
And he didn't give you any kind of benefits other than whatever was on your paycheck. You didn't have anything else that was...
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He gave absolutely no benefits whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty much, you were overworked, and it was just, it was horrible. It was to the point where even my little brother worked for us for probably all for a month, and he's an ex-Marine, and he even said, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even said, he was like, I would never work for this guy again. He threatened my little brother. Then when he got mad at my little brother for standing up for himself, you know, being an ex-Marine, he's not going to sit there and take that.
Right.
So he got mad and told my little brother, well, how dare you talk back to me? He goes, well, you're just a man just like I am. You breathe the same air I breathe. You know, like, what makes you think that you're better than me? He goes, I got money, you don't. And he told him, you know what, just turn around, bring the truck back, you're fired.
Do you know if your little brother had to sign something to get his last check?
He never even gave my little brother his last check. They never even gave him the option to.
He just withheld it.
He's withheld it.
Yeah.
And if you want to, I can give you my brother's information, and he'll be more than happy to talk to you.
Okay. Well, we might...
Like I said, he wasn't there long. It was only about a month.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it.
Sure. Well, you can't withhold... My understanding is you couldn't withhold a dollar. If that's what you owed, then you owe it, you know?
Oh, yeah. He loved withholding money from people. That's one thing I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt. He loved withholding money.
Yeah. So if
he didn't have to pay you, he wouldn't.
This time that you worked basically 48 hours, would you have gotten paid 20 hours for those shifts?
Nope, I only got paid the 10.
Okay.
Yeah, my paycheck did not move an inch.
Gotcha.
That's why I started arguing and telling him I needed a raise, because I told him, you're working me to the bone here. I'm going to get into an accident eventually. I'm going to fall asleep behind the wheel. That's what was going on with a couple of the other guys. And if they got into an accident, the first one, okay, whatever, no problem. But if you got into an accident again, even though he's clearly overworking us, he would fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you, oh, you need to get more sleep. Well, you can't get more sleep if you're only going home for about 5-6 hours and then you're coming back in.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, is there anything else that, just off this first go-round, that you think make any sense to know about?
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember.
Well, and if you do, Julio, if you do remember something later, we can talk about it too. Were there ever any times that you know about when the trucks went from Connecticut to another state once he had sweepers?
Or they were never Connecticut. They were always Rhode Island plates.
Rhode Island plates, and then doing business in Connecticut?
Yes.
Okay. So they're Rhode Island plates, but you're always driving in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I questioned them about that. I said, hey, listen, you know, we got Rhode Island plates. Why don't we have any Connecticut plates? And he told me, oh, you know, we're supposed to be based out of Ashaway, he told me. That's how I found out about it. He goes, but what they don't know won't hurt him.
And where's Ashaway?
In Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, okay, yeah. So he was pretending he was based out of Rhode Island. He was really based out of Connecticut, maybe because it would cost less for plates in Rhode Island or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, I just, in my honest opinion, I think he was just trying to avoid the taxes that Connecticut has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figure he probably just didn't want to pay taxes.
Yeah. You think it's a higher tax rate?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And I know for a fact he just doesn't want to pay that. He tries to, if he can cut corners, the way, this is the way he works. I found out after working there that whole time, I saw it. If he can cut corners on doing anything, he's going to cut them to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever around him when he hired other contractors to take over some Home Depots? Or did that all come later?
That might have came before I was even there. From what I understand, he used to have other contractors do it, and then he would say something. And I remember overhearing him talking. I don't know who he would be talking to because it was always on his phone, but he's such a loud person, you can pretty much hear his whole conversation. And he would tell them that, you know, they quote-unquote did a sloppy job, And that's why he wasn't paying them, or they didn't supposedly use the app correctly. But the thing was, from what I understand, they used it the same way that I did everything that I did, nothing was wrong. So I couldn't piece together where the connection went bad on that, because, you know, he would sit there and he would tell me afterwards, oh yeah, you know, they used the app, they took pictures, I just didn't like it. Yeah, you know, I kind of just want to pay them. I would rather pay my own people before I pay someone else.
So he told you that?
Yeah. And so I questioned him one time, and he said it with a smile on his face. He says, I don't care. If I think they're charging too much or I got to pay them too much, he goes, I'd rather hire my own people to go over, take care of the job, and I get the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else to ask at the moment. I certainly appreciate you being interested enough in this to have us talk. And I'll put down that you've got a brother there that we could get hold of. And
oh yeah, definitely. He does not like Tony, especially after withholding his last check.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Do you know if the employment office was ever contacted about this kind of stuff? The labor board or anything like that?
I tried contacting them to let them know on how he conducts business, and they said for the state of Connecticut, unfortunately, he can fire people for whatever reason that he wants, and that he can talk to people how he wants.
Okay.
Because it's quote unquote his business.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then when I did, after I got fired, that's what happened, because I went over, and after I got fired, and then I tried to go for unemployment, and they told me that, you know, there's no record of me ever working at NELPS.
Okay.
Which kind of surprised me, and I said, well, what do you mean? I was there for quite some time. I don't understand. So I never got unemployment for working at NELPS.
And they wouldn't look into that for you and see why that happened?
They did not.
Okay.
I kept on calling and calling and calling, and I would just get the runaround.
Okay. Okay. Well, sure be nice if something could be done about that even this long afterwards. But
yeah,
I mean, it would be nice.
I don't think Connecticut's going to do that, but it would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, that was, from what I understand, that was a decent amount of money, because I was out of work for a little bit of time, you know. It's just, you know, I ended up going to a warehouse place. Probably, like, I was out of work for a little bit.
For a month or two, or?
It was a little over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had no income, and I got, you know, I mean, I'm divorced, but I still have kids that I got to take care of, you know. So it was hard. It was really hard, and not receiving any unemployment at all, because supposedly I never existed in that company, and that I was told that NELPS does not exist in Connecticut. That's what unemployment told me.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what shocked me the most. I was like, wait a minute. You know, at the time, I had to pay subs, and I said, listen, I have them. What do you want me to do with this? You know, but, you know, it's been so long now that, and unfortunately, I moved a couple times since, so there's a possibility at some point that I could probably show you if any of them are in my storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I can go look for that this weekend for you and see if I can pull some of them out of there.
Yeah, if you run into something, it'd be nice to see whether they say, you know, they weren't paying to Employment Security or something like that.
I don't remember on any of the pay stubs anything for unemployment for Connecticut.
Yeah, or for Rhode Island.
I don't remember that at all. I saw that there was federal taxes and stuff like that and all that, but I, you know, nothing else. And even when I went and filed taxes this year, I got my W-2 from NELTS this year, a couple months ago, I went and filed it, and when they filed it, it came up as Rhode Island, and I said, wait a minute, they're in Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know where he's at. I know his address for the shop and everything.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. He's in North Franklin, 11 Tyler Drive.
Okay.
Yeah, you can walk over. You can go right over there, and you see all the trucks that he has now. You know, and he's just like he's growing massively, and I'm just like, how is he growing massively while doing business the way he does?
Well, maybe a high profit margin.
Yeah, I would has to be. I mean, I don't remember seeing any of the street sweepers, so I don't know. There was no street sweepers for quite some time when I was there, so he must have got them afterwards.
Mm-hmm. He has quite a few sweepers now.
Really? Well, that would have been nice to have them back then so I didn't have to handpick everything.
Yeah, I don't know. No, that was a question because I don't know how many he has. He tells a lot of stories, so it's very hard
imagine.
To... Yeah, it's hard to... So, I don't have... Do you have an email address?
I do, yes. It's JC
okay.
MMA 82 at Gmail.
And I had that as John Charlie MM like Mickey Mouse A
yes.
Like Apple 82 at Gmail.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And did you see the article that I wrote about him after I had a conversation with him?
Yeah, and I kind of laughed at all the stuff that he was saying because I know flat out that he's lying about everything.
Yeah, that was...
I the one who sent that to me was Josh, actually, and I got furious when I asked him, I was like, is there any way to contact you? I was like, because we need to fix this. This guy cannot go over and profit off people's backs when they're breaking it. And, I mean, it's just not... And then, you know, just flat out not paying people money. That's not right. You can't get away with stuff like that.
Yeah. You shouldn't be able to get away with it. As well as some other things, too.
That's just wrong in so many ways. They got families to feed, you know. They got bills to pay.
Yeah.
Instead, he lives in this huge, massive house, driving around $100,000 pickup trucks.
Yeah, what can I tell you? Well, I'm hoping that the attorney in Connecticut can get something rolling on this, and we'll see. He's got some incentive to do that. I'm located north of Seattle, so I'm not a great prospect for that, but I'm trying to do as much investigation as I can. So,
awesome, yeah. Feel free to contact me anytime about anything. If I can think of anything... I'll let you know.
Sure, I'll send you an email. Then you'll have all my contact information. And I don't have an email I don't think I have an email for Josh either. His email.
So I can go over and have him. Have him contact you.
Yeah, just ask him.
Yeah,
I'll send you an email. Then you'll have all my contact information, and then
awesome.
And then you can ask him to send me an email, and then I'll respond to it, and then we'll know we all have each other's contact information.
Awesome. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Well, Julio, thank you very much. I'm going to stop the recording right now.